Leadership is stepping up to the plate when somebody can't do it anymore, advocating, making sure stuff gets done, and no matter how stressed out you get, you just keep coming back. Be determined. Be determined. Be an overcomer.
Hello. Oh, she just got me to work. Thank you. Leadership. I would define leadership as simply the ability to coordinate and to bring people together and guide them towards a goal. And how important it is in this organization is because personally, for me, my experience that we are taught not to be leaders, to let other people take care of us. And the importance is that since we are the ones who best understand blindness, we really should be the ones to take the lead in getting to a particular goal, you know.
So, yes, we are a group of individuals collectively focused. What does that mean to anybody in this room? Anybody? We are a group of individuals collectively focused. What does that mean? That's right. Uh-oh.
That's what I'm thinking the battery's.
Yeah. Well, I have one.
I turn it on, and then it goes right back off.
Carla. Carla. Okay. That's right. And collectively focused means that we all of one accord. We all fight for the same things, as Enrique said, as a collective group. And there's strength in numbers and there's power in numbers. So we in the National Federation of the Blind have tried to get together to have an opportunity to be present our message in one voice. That's why we consider ourselves the voice of the nation. We are the voice of the nation's blind. We come together collectively to put forth our efforts to change what it means to be blind here in the state of Indiana and across the world. So when we do that, we have power in that. Our leaders in our organization, our group is made up. Our board, if you ever noticed, we have women on our board of directors. We have men. We have African-Americans. We have Hispanics. Our national board of directors reflects the organization as a whole. We talked a lot this year at our national convention about diversity and inclusion, meaning that everybody participates from the top to the bottom. We all speak with one voice. Carla, want to say something? Yeah, you ready? You can have this one. Yeah, here you go. Where are you, Carla? You can have this one. Yeah.
Look, it's working. All right.
There you go.
All right, Ron. Yay, technology is great when it works. Okay, so any questions? For those of you who are out there and you're going, gee, I wish that I could know how I can move up into leadership, whether it be in your chapter or at your state level or eventually national. Anybody got questions?
How can you do it? How can you become a leader in this organization? In your chapter, on the state level, or on the national level. How can you do it? It's what she's asking.
Wait, work and lots of it. You got to say your name. Please don't raise your
hand. You start by asking and just reaching out. Make connections. And the more connections you have, the more connections you make, the more possibilities you have.
Okay, and I'm going to throw something in here as a state president for many years. I look for talent, and I frequently try to get people to do stuff that reaches beyond their what they perceive they have the capacity to do, all right? But I don't know a lot about every single person that is in my affiliate. So if there is something you do particularly well or something you really like to do, which means you'll probably get the job done, you need to talk to your chapter president or your state president and let them know, because the more we work in this organization, the more skills and confidence we build. And if you're just sitting on the sidelines, you're not getting as much out of this organization as you potentially could. And the more you roll up your sleeves and work, the better you're going to get. Okay, Rebecca, where are you? Oh, she walked right past you, darling.
Some of the things they'll say.
Oh,
But yeah, I just gonna say you have to be proactive, and then when you feel like when you know you got gifts and talents to present to contribute to the organization, you utilize those. And like you were saying, just trying to network with your presidents and different things.
Hey, you know, people say all the time, "Oh, Carla never lets anybody do anything." Ron, have you ever turned somebody down when they came and said, "Hey, can I do this for you?"
I don't think I've ever done.
I don't think so. I'm sorry. Who was seeking the floor?
Okay. My name is Chris Wooski, and I was approached by Matt Easter when he's about ready to leave for Israel, and I was not expecting to be the vice president, but I just went with the role of it, and me and Kane, we've been doing a lot of work over in Michigan, and I hope we could still grow it with me and Kane taking the shoes. So it's a lot of work. That's all I want to say. I appreciate having this opportunity. And also, I'm about ready to start fighting with Special Olympics because they are not wanting to modify any rules. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Anybody else?
Yeah. I know as a state president, you know, you can be a leader in many ways. One of our NFB goals is to build our membership, which ultimately builds our leadership. But you can be a leader of this organization without holding an office. Yeah, it's great. We need good leaders. And if you can be a president or a board member or a treasurer, you are more than welcome. But to get in there and to do the hard work is definitely something that we need. And you are definitely a leader.
So Kathy and Carla and myself all served on the scholarship committee. And one of the things that we do, let me ask you guys, why do you think we give away scholarships? Why do you think we give away scholarships?
It is, but yeah. You'll touch the button and it's going to go right back off. You've got to be real careful not to, yeah.
Okay.
No, you got it.
We're good. So I'd say one of the biggest reasons we give away scholarships is so it's kind of maybe that first step toward training the next generation of leaders.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, we don't just give away money just because we got money to give away. What are we looking for? Alex said it, part of it, but what else are we looking for? We're looking for our next generation of leaders, but what else are we looking for in those scholarship candidates?
So Rebecca says commitment, loyalty. Talent.
Yes.
Potential.
Yeah.
Leaders. That's what
go.
I was waiting for.
Yes. Being active in the chapters. So everybody that joins our organization, I mean, everybody that gets a scholarship from us don't necessarily join our organization. We want them to join our organization. We want them to be a part of us, but we also are looking to groom our next generation of leaders. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for people that have gifts and capacities, as Rebecca said, and we want to challenge you to show us those capacities, and everybody has gifts, and we try to draw from them. Everybody can't be the president, but somebody can be the treasurer. Everybody has potential to if you have a talent in, technology, or you're really good at getting finances together and stuff like that, and for the organization, you're a good exchequer. We want to look at that because that's leadership potential. We have to fund our movement, and we have to fund our movement because why?
That's how we get the work done.
That's right. It takes money to get the work done that we do, to fight all the cases that you heard about today. It takes money for us to put on conventions like this. Why do we put on a state convention? Matter of fact, why do we put on a national convention? Anybody got an answer to that?
Our name out there, and to also, to put our name out there, and then also to encourage others to join.
We put on our state conventions and our national conventions to showcase our talent. We put on our national conventions to show people that the blind are the blind. The blind are who lead the blind. And we do it effectively. We show people in our outside of our organization that we have the ability to run our own meetings. We're self-determining. We know what we want. We're not turning back. We put on these conventions as a showcase to the city that we're in, as a national convention, to showcase our talent, to showcase that we make decisions for ourselves.
I'd like to add to that. So when we were in New Orleans for National Convention in 1997, I came back to work, and one of my staff members came to me and said, oh my gosh, two of my friends were in New Orleans last week, and you know what they said to me? I asked, how was your trip? And they said, there's a lot of blind people living in New Orleans. And she said, no, that was a convention. My boss was there. Anyway, I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So we do impact the cities we go to, and I really enjoy bouncing around the country so that we have exposure to different regions, so that people who probably would never see 3,000 blind people in their community get the opportunity to see us, and it gives our blind guys the opportunity to explore new parts of the country they may never have seen otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
All right, does somebody else seek the floor? Questions?
Any questions about anything we've talked about so far?
All right, so earlier in the chapter development, you have two chapters here in Indianapolis. All right, not here, but in Indianapolis, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay,
correct.
Yes. And I was telling Ron about this yesterday, that in Portland, Oregon, we had a chapter, and it was a lot of our members who'd been around for a very long time, and they didn't want to do anything anymore. They just wanted to listen to the presidential release and meet once a month, and that was what they wanted to do. And they were kind of shutting down any ideas that the younger guys had about going out and doing stuff. And I say older and younger, it's a state of mind. It's not an age. My husband always tells me, you know, Carly, you're one of those old guys. And I said, no, I am not. I will never be one of those old guys. So the decision we made was to split and start a second chapter, so that, because we were losing our members, because if you don't do anything, listen, if I came in this organization and nothing was going on, I'd have walked right back out. And the more activity that's going on in your chapter, the more you're going to get out in your community, the more members you're going to draw in, because the kind of members we want, because they want to do something. And that's what they want to see in us. So now the chapter we spun off is the largest chapter in the state by far. It's very active. They raise the most money of any of the chapters in the state. And the other chapter still meets, and it's still a tiny little chapter. And, you know, they're doing what they're doing. And so there's a place for everybody. But, yes, I think the second chapter was really the best move in Oregon. Questions?
Right. Questions about any of that? Okay.
This is Alex Gillen. That second chapter that was started, was that mainly comprised of the younger members that you just described?
Yes, it was mainly comprised of the younger members, and they still are. I mean, it's not that they don't have older members there, but they're all, it's a state of mind. They're much more active than the other chapter, which suits me just fine. I like to see it.
As a leader of the organization, and I know a lot of our leaders in our organization have this same mantra, and that is that everybody participates, from the oldest to the youngest. If you want to keep a member in your organization, put them to work. Give them something to do. Nobody wants to come into a meeting and be preached to all the time from the same people. You have to have the opportunity to invest in the organization. And what we found out, that people that are invested in the organization tend to stay in the organization, and they tend to work because their capacities are getting out there, and people know that they are willing to put the work in. It's not about gaining titles and not doing anything, any work, because with a title comes responsibility. Now, what does that mean? With a title comes responsibility. What does that mean, Rebecca?
You need to be dedicated, and you also have to be able to delegate accordingly, appropriately.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Alan?
I was going to say that with that leadership and responsibility, you are a face. Like you, it's like your brand. It's like you're a face now of that organization and that chapter. and the affiliate as well.
I am so glad you said that. You're right. You are a member of this organization, and as a leader in this organization, everything you do, whether you are at an NFP meeting or not, reflects the organization. Someone came to President Riccobono a while back and asked him to serve on a particular board and said, yeah, we know you're president, but you know what? When you come to our table, you're just another blind guy. And he said, I can't ever be just another blind guy. I am the president. You take me as I am, or you don't take me at all. And I think he didn't serve on that board. We had a state president for a brief time who decided that he was going to, he liked the media. He liked to see himself on television and on the radio. So he made a decision to hold a demonstration that was not not approved by the affiliate. But when he went on the television, he announced that he was the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Oregon. And did not understand why this was a problem, because when you say that, you imply that it is the position of the organization, and it was not the position of the organization. So you need to be extremely careful about the kinds of things that you do and say. Now, can you, I had at our state convention a couple of weekends ago, we actually did a breakout just like this, and Justin Salisbury from Hawaii was our student representative, and he said, well, look, you know, I've gotten really involved. I know we focus on blindness stuff. I've gotten really involved in some other community advocacy kind of work that has nothing to do with blindness. Is that okay? And I said, well, of course it's okay. I mean, as long as you're not presenting yourself as being a representative of the National Federation of the Blind in some activity that we would not approve of, no, I think you're fine, right? Wouldn't you agree, Ron and Kathy?
Absolutely. That's why it's important, and it led to my next question is about protocol. Why is it important to follow protocol? And what is protocol, basically?
Somebody call for the mic.
The protocol is the rules, because if you didn't have any rules, it would just be chaotic.
Well, it's something, it's some is about rules, but what else is protocol? What does that truly mean, to follow protocol?
Hi. It's the order of events in which something is supposed to happen. You know, it's kind of like jumping through all the hoops, so to speak, or, you know, you can't skip two to go to three. You know, it's protocol or to follow. It's kind of like, if you think of it like in the days of a king, they had a protocol. If you can kind of think, and that's kind of what I'm trying to say, too.
So what is protocol when it comes to leadership in a organization? What is the protocols of that organization? What does that truly mean? Yeah, it means following the hierarchy of the organization. It's the chain of command. That's right. And you want to do that because, just like Carla said, some people go off half-cocked and they want to speak for the organization, and they don't necessarily represent the organization if they have not followed protocol and got the blessings of the president and the state board of directors who govern that state, who our national board governs our national organization, and our president is the commander of our organization. So if you're going to speak for the organization, you have to get the blessings of the organization.
Let me give you a really interesting example that just happened recently in Oregon. We have a relatively new chapter several new chapters, but in Southern Oregon. And the president of the chapter has only been with us for 2 years. She was a scholarship winner 2 years ago. But she's got the idea down of the way the chain of command works and doesn't do a thing without talking to me about it. I just love it. Well, her vice president in her chapter apparently contacted all of the chapter members without speaking to the president and changed the location of their chapter meeting without approval from the president. And then declared that because she was vice president, she had the authority to do so. No, the answer is no. So we had quite a chat. Guess what? She went away, which is fine with me because I have a nickname for this woman. She was with us for a while and then gone, and I used to call her Worm Tongue. Any of you Lord of the Rings fans? She would whisper in the ear of the interim president between my terms, and it was not good advice. So when she started acting up and trying to cause trouble in the chapter, I was more than happy to see her go away. You know, we invite everybody, but it doesn't mean that everybody is good for the organization. And I would much rather have somebody walk away on their own volition if it's somebody who is not good for the organization than for us to have to kick them out.
On that topic, have I had to kick anyone out?
I did. I have kicked out one individual in my tenure as president. It was an individual who was trying to sway not only chapter but state elections by paying dues for people who in some cases I found out did not even know he was paying dues for them. And okay, the purpose of that was so that he could bring in a bunch of sighted people in the chapter to vote, because you can't have more sighted people than blind people. The majority of the voting members have to be blind, right? Well, he wanted to skew the numbers, so he paid dues for some blind guys who didn't know it, and then brought in his sighted family and friends. And at state convention, he brought in a whole bunch of people who paid dues but were not members and had no intention of becoming members, so that they could remove me as president. He got expelled. Ron, have you expelled anybody?
Absolutely. We have in our organization here in Indiana have had to do it, unfortunately, but, you know, some things have to be done. If you don't have the best interests of the organization, you're not doing us any good. And if you have, if your intentions are to feather your own cap and to be seen and to be all you can be and not to have the best interests of the organization, it's time to go.
Well, I've also had to expel someone in Kentucky. We had a president that was, he was kind of a chapter who was kind of disgruntled about a lot of things. He didn't like going on the national level and state level and whatever. So his chapter was, it's kind of getting to the point where it was not very active, not very productive. And so I kind of found out very accidentally that he was going to have a chapter meeting, and he was inviting guests to his meeting. His guests were members of the ACB. And when I approached him about this, he said, well, I was just trying to get these people interested in something. And I said, well, you know, if you're a chapter of the National Federation of the Blind, I would think you would want to get them more interested in the NFB and not the ACB. You know, I would have been glad to come to your chapter. You know, there are other members that would have come with me. We could have rallied round. And so, of course, I called Dr. Maurer and said, well, this is what's going on. And he said, well, you know what to do, don't you? And I said, oh, yeah, he's gone. But he knew the handwriting was on the wall. He actually resigned before he was expelled, but he would have been.
Our organization is a three-tier organization. We have a national headquarters, we have state affiliates, and we have local chapters. We also have divisions in our organization. So someone joins and they come into our organization, say, as a blind merchant. And then, right or wrong, anybody answer this question. You join the merchants division, you only work for merchants.
No.
What is that all about?
What is that all about is right.
Yeah. What? Why can't you just work for a division of our organization and none of the other parts of our organization? Very good, Joe. Absolutely, positively. And we're one organization. We may be, have many moving parts in our organization, but we're all one organization.
Now, let me also, since we're talking about kicking people out, let's talk about the leadership. So Dr. Jernigan said when I went to leadership seminar that you support a president as long as they are 51% or more good for the organization. Because if you disagree with one little thing or another and you start complaining about it, you're only causing trouble and you're weakening your organization. At the point where that leader becomes 51% or more bad for the organization, you have a responsibility as a member to remove them and see that they cannot do damage to the organization. Now, this goes for chapter, this goes for state president, it goes for anybody. You need to get them out. That's your job. And I will tell you that if I am a good steward of my office as president in Oregon, the affiliate will grow and prosper long after I am gone. It is not about me. And unfortunately, some people invest so much of themselves in the position they hold that they lose sight of the fact that they are there for a purpose and that at some point it is in the best interest of the organization to groom new leadership. I was at a state president meeting. I don't know if you were there, Ron. I want to say it was 2006. And I was sitting with a bunch of my fellow state presidents and two of them who had been presidents for over 20 years in each state. Started whining. There's nobody who can do what I do. Nobody who can take my job. Both of them. And I turned around and I said, you are not thinking about this correctly. You did not know what you know now when you became president. Lord knows I didn't. I didn't know anything about the blindness community. Remember, I was hiding from blindness. I knew nothing. I had to learn everything from scratch. So I learned a lot, and I told him, I said, you start looking for people with potential who are teachable. And the sooner you do that and try to start transitioning your leadership, because you do a lot and nobody knows all the things that you do. Trust me, you do not know all the things state presidents do. You need to start turning the reins over to someone else. Exactly.
And our organization has different styles of leadership. Don't get me wrong. There's all different styles of leadership. The four different styles of leadership that I know of is one is the commander style of leadership. The second is the input and consult style of leadership. The third is the democratic style of leadership. And the fourth is the consensus style of leadership. So the commander style of leadership, what does that mean? Sometimes you have to be a commander style of leadership. You have to, as president of your chapter or your or of the organization or state affiliate or division, you have to make decisions that's best for the organization. You have to make it and stick to it. That is a commander style of leadership. Now, it's not always prudent to do that, but sometimes you have to do it. The input and consult style of leadership is where you consult with your executive board, your membership, and you get input from them and then make a decision. The third style of leadership is the democratic process, you know, where you get a vote and the majority rules, basically. And the last is a consensus. You get a consensus of the organization and you see how everybody's feeling towards something and you do it. You know, those are now. Which one of those styles of leadership should you be?
A piece of all of
them. There you go. Whoever said that back there, you have to have it all. You have to sometimes be a commander. You have to get input and consult with people. The democratic process always works for the most part, but if you don't have that, and sometimes you have to have a consensus where, everybody, the majority look like we're leaning toward Fort Wayne, so we're going Fort Wayne. You know, something like that to have our stake of it. So you want to have a little bit of it all. It will make you a more well-rounded leader.
You also need to be a good listener. I think sometimes we don't realize how important it is to get someone else's perspective before we make decisions and judgments that concern them.
Carla said one thing that's very important, that if you take nothing else away from this simple little workshop here, what you need to take away is that it's not about you. It's all about the organization, because this organization will be here after Ron Brown is gone, Carla McQuillan, Kathy Jackson, Pam Schneider. It will be here after all of us are gone, and that's the way we want to have it. We should not want to have it any other way.
You know, Wormtongue, the first time she was in our midst, told her chapter president at the time that I didn't like her. And I responded by saying, I have several comments. First of all, it's a volunteer membership organization. I don't have the luxury to like or dislike anyone. I may choose not to hang out with you and have a drink, but that does not mean that I am not going to use you for whatever skill and talent you have. Secondly, she didn't do anything. There was nothing to dislike or like. She just was kind of an empty space, except when she caused trouble. So when people say stuff like that to you, this is also important. You need to turn them to the boss. Don't talk to me. I can't do anything about what you're telling me. You go talk directly to Carly. You go talk directly to Kathy or the chapter president or whoever it is. If you engage in that kind of ticky-tacky with someone, do you know that all of the communication studies show that just by listening, even if you show no indication that you are in agreement, the speaker will perceive that you support their position just because you stood there and listened. Your job is to tell them, you need to stop talking to me because I can't do anything about what you're saying. You need to go to the person who can do something about it. And otherwise, you get gossip and your affiliate becomes a mess.
Questions, comments, anybody?
What Carla has said, I've even told people that are disgruntled with things on the national level. I've told them, you know, you're a member of this organization. Mark Riccobono's door is open. His phone rings. You call him. I can't really do anything about it, and I realize it's a concern of yours, but you need to talk to Dr. Maurer. I mean, or, well, Dr. Maurer, yeah. And President Riccobono. So, I mean, you know, it doesn't stop at the local or state level.
Like Frank said earlier, our chapter up here has been in that same situation long before I was born, and this is our third incarnation is a chapter in Fort Wayne, and I'm not sure what to really do about it, and I'm not sure if Frank does either, but we want to work together. We don't want to do gossip or anything. We want to correct this problem and build the Federation back up north here.
Well, and I have to say, I called my husband on the lunch break, and I said, you know what I really am enjoying here? You guys are so fun. You all seem like you like each other. I mean, my affiliate's the same way, but I have been to conventions where there are clear lines and factions in the room, and it's tense, and it's uncomfortable, and I don't know why someone would choose to spend their weekends in a situation that is like that. I personally, I don't have time for it. Now, I know there are people who thrive on that kind of negative energy, but, you know, I can't even have that in my sphere because it starts to get me, and I don't have room for it. I don't have time for it in my life. Oh, yeah, oh, absolutely. Sit on opposite sides of the room. Ron, tell about your reorganization.
We you know, there's a couple of things that, yeah, I think about when you just mentioned that sitting on the other sides of the room. But so one time, Peggy Elliott was still in the organization, and we had an issue in Tennessee. And it was an issue, where it was a black-white issue, you know, that racial thing. And so all the black people were sitting on one side of the room, and all the white people were sitting on the other side of the room. And they were just going at it. The whole group, that, you know, it feeds off one. So one person started it, and everybody joined in that liked her. And then everybody joined in that liked the African-American guy. So, but the thing about it is how Peggy and I defused that is that I went and sit on the white side of the room, and Peggy went and sit on the African-American side of the room. And so when we talked, Peggy would yell over there questions at me, and I would yell back to Peggy, but yeah, Peggy, we did it this way, and blah, blah, blah. But what did that do? And what did that tell the people? It's like if we came together, we could all talk with one voice and don't have to yell across the room. It didn't make sense to have a racial divide when our commonality is what? Blindness. It's not about blackness. It's not about whiteness. It's all about blindness.
Leron Carter.
Who is it? Who's singing?
Leron Carter.
Leron.
First, if I may make the comment that I commend you, because definitely when it comes to any racial barrier, any other barriers that we have, those of us in the blind community should be the leaders to be the merging factor with sight or without sight. We should actually be the example for the rest of the world on how to carry ourselves inclusively, since we want to be inclusive. But I do have a question. As a growing and inspiring and desiring new member of the NFB, I happen to live in Newburgh, Indiana, to where representation, as I've noticed since I've been here, so this isn't any fault of anyone's, it's just a question, so don't nobody get curled at me, all right? But I do notice an observation of, like, I noticed that everybody on the board is from Indianapolis, from one or two chapters. I noticed that when I go out in the community, as I am now new to this area and I'm actually getting informed about these different opportunities, when I ask people, well, how come you're not a member of the National Federation or the ACB or anything else, they have a lot of divisive responses. And I just wonder what we can do, what can I do to try to help change one, so that the representation for my community is also represented in the leadership above, so that when my peers or other folks in the black community from other parts of the state also say that they don't feel like they can be included or that they're represented because the people of, almost like the Electoral College, we don't vote because the Electoral College is going to overcast my vote anyway. What can we do as individuals in other parts of the state to help heighten awareness and bring more activism and more participation to the National Federation, as well as diversity on our leadership? What can we do?
All right. I'll take a crack at it. And I'm, when you said about that, it reminded me of a story. And that story is about a man walking on the beach. And this man was walking on the beach, and it was a million starfish on that beach washed ashore. And that man kept picking one up as he walked, throw it back into the ocean. He'd walk a little ways again, he'd pick a starfish up, he'd throw it back in the ocean. This guy was looking at him, seeing him picking up that one starfish, throwing it back in the ocean, and he ran up to him. He said, "Hey, what are you doing? You're picking up one starfish and throwing it back in the ocean. It's millions of them washed up on a beach. It's not going to make a difference." And you know what that man said? It made a difference to that one. So in other words, everything that you do and say about our organization, LaRon, even if it's just to one person, it's going to make a difference to that one. When you change one, you change another, you change another, you change a million. And that's what we have to do in this organization, is to change people's mind and perspective about blindness and blind people. We have to show them that we have capacity to live the life we want, and blindness doesn't have to be the barrier that holds us back from living that life, and blindness does not have to define who we are as people. Yes, you are an individual, and you can be a part of an organization and still maintain your individuality. But the bottom line, when we're in here representing the National Federation of the Blind, we're speaking for all of us.
Can I try to address it before you say something again? So I would tell you that you want to read on the history of the National Federation of the Blind, and you're going to get the story about the American Council of the Blind. I know in my community, and actually I was even kind of, I'm trying to think of the word, one of our brand new members, who's an older guy, but doesn't understand why the ACB and the NFB can't all get along, kind of grilled me on why blah blah blah. And the number one, I kept very calm. I did not let him intimidate me, which he tried to do. I stated factual information and essentially said, look, you know, the ACB is around for a reason. There are people who are better suited for their policies and programs than they are for the NFB. That's okay. I don't care. As long as you find something. I happen to think this is the best blindness organization there is. So that's where I am. But I don't engage in ugly discussion. I certainly never say anything publicly negative about the council. And unfortunately, I see a lot of people who do. And I think that contributes to some of what you're talking about. Now, with regard to positions on the board of directors, sometimes it, geographic location in the state, you can't get it all. I know. We try. And we're very diverse in a very rural state. And while I try to represent as many of our areas on the board as possible, sometimes there isn't somebody in a particular region that is really capable of serving in that capacity. I mean, there's so many things you have to weigh as a president when you're considering who is going to work best for the organization on the board itself.